Welcome to all those joining us for Chaim Aran. We're up to the section called Avodas Hashem. We're getting close towards the end. We're up to paragraph 595, Tovkuf Tzadik Hei. In Eretz Yisrael last night, Motzoi Shabbos, of Parshas Tazria, Tovshin Pei Dalid. Most people, I'm sure, are aware there was a major barrage of missiles and all kinds of things from Iran attacking Eretz Yisrael. And Baruch Hashem, Hashem performed miracles. And nobody, no Israeli, no Jew was hurt. One child was hurt. We hope that the schus of the Torah being learned across the world, the Torah and the Tefillah, and all the chesed that's being done, especially now in this month of Nisan, preparation for Pesach, Hashem should protect all of us all over the world. We should be zocha to see the complete and final downfall of all the enemies of Klal Yisrael and the Geula Shlema, Mitzvah Hashem. Rav Nosson Zal writes, I heard it told over in the name of Rabbeinu Zal when he returned from his long trip to the city of Novorich. We spoke about this way in the beginning of the Shurim and Chaim Aran. And Rabbeinu Zal arrived in the city of Zaslav, and his wife had been very ill at the time, and Rabbeinu Zal wanted her to go to a different city to see the doctors there. She insisted on going to Zaslav, and she ended up passing away on Erev Shavuos. And a short while afterwards, Rabbeinu Zal made a shidduch in the city of Brod with his second wife. And then when he returned to Breslov, he spoke a lot about the topic of Shiduchim, and he said no one really knows about Shiduchim. And Rabbeinu Zal said that when he was in the city of Radvil at the time, preparing to remarry with his second wife from the city of Brod, there were several wagons of women that came wanting to marry him. And Rabbeinu Zal said all of those women were part of his zivug. And he said that each and every person has several zivugim, several mates. It's just that there are all kinds of variations as to how this works, meaning that whenever shiduchim are being spoken about, even if it's not completed, even if they don't get engaged, they don't get married, the fact that people are talking about these, about the possibility of these two people getting married, that alone is a shidduch, a zivug. That alone is a connection. And Rabbeinu Zal said there are times that people are sitting in their home and they're discussing that, wow, it would be a good idea if this and this person marries that person. And he says that conversation can complete that aspect of a shidduch between those two. There are times when actual shadchanim, people who do this professionally, they come and they discuss a shidduch between two people and it doesn't go through. And that's also an aspect of a zivug, a union between these two. And that's even a stronger connection than when it's just two ordinary people speaking about it. And then he said there are times that people actually travel to meet each other. The man travels to meet the woman or vice versa. And then somehow it doesn't work out. And again, as a result of that trip that was made and that meeting, that was enough to complete that shidduch. Then there are times that a shidduch is actually completed. They agree to get married. And then afterwards, somehow before the marriage actually takes place, they decide not to. And then there are times that they actually get married. And a short time after the wedding, Rahman al-Islam, there's a divorce. And then there are times when they stay married for a length of time, years. And then afterwards, a divorce takes place. And Rabbeinu Zal said there are many different bechinais, many different variations regarding this topic of shiduchim and zivugim. which do not get finalized completely. However, all of them are actually part of that person's zivug. And again, he went on to say that every person has multiple zivugim. Just by one person, it gets completed simply by the fact that people discuss it. Sometimes it requires more than that, a trip, an action. And Rabbi Nazar said that this is something really incredible, that just by people speaking about a potential shidduch between two people, that already creates a union between them. And we find that Rabbi Nazar speaks about this in Sefer Hamidos, which is also called the Sefer Aleph Beis, that speaking about a shidduch has an actual effect. We find in the paragraph on Chitun, marriage, paragraph Zion 7 is where this is mentioned. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that there are incredible secrets regarding this topic that have not been revealed. And the truth is that Rabbi Nazal told us, he prided himself that he knows things about this topic of Shiduchim that even the leaders of the generation don't know anything about. Certain deep secrets about this topic of Shiduchim. The next paragraph, Tovkuf Tzadik Vav, 576. Rabbi Nazal said, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 92, which begins with Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, where it says there, Ish bar lo yedo, uchasil lo yoven ezois. An ordinary person doesn't understand this, and a fool certainly doesn't understand. What don't they understand? Why Hashem does this, Bifroyach Rishoem Kemoyesev, we see Rishoim, wicked people, growing like grass in a garden, in a field. Vayotzitzu kol poel eoven, and they blossom forth, lehishomdom adeyad, to be destroyed permanently. The question is, why have them blossom? Why have them grow in it if it's just that they're going to be destroyed? But Rabbi Nazar went on to say, but the fact is and the truth is that the ways of Hashem are 100% righteous. As we say afterwards, Lehagid ki yoshar Hashem tsuri veloi avlosaboy. There is no ovel at all whatsoever. There is nothing wrong whatsoever with whatever Hashem does. It's just that we, with our human intellect, can't comprehend, we cannot understand why Hashem does these things sometimes. The next paragraph, Tovkuf Tzadik Zayin, Rav Nosson Zal says, I heard it told over in the name of Rabbi Nazal. Now note, there are many things in Chaim Aran that Rav Nosson Zal writes, I heard it directly from Rabbi Nazal, and when he didn't hear it directly, he makes sure to note that. I heard it told over in the name of Rabbi Nazal, Shomar, that he said that Moshiach will come suddenly. It'll be a surprise. He'll take the world by surprise. And there'll be major commotion that Moshiach has arrived. And everybody is going to drop their business that they were involved in. The money changers will put aside their table. And this one will put aside his wax. Each one, as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya Novi, Vehishlichu ish elile kasboi velile zahovoi. People will discard their idols of gold and silver. And Rabbi Nazar went on to say, not like people think that when Moshiach will come, it's going to be a completely different world than what it is now, but rather, again, he'll come at a time when people are involved in business, they're doing things, and it'll be a shock, it'll be a surprise, and people put aside those things. And each and every person will be ashamed and embarrassed of the foolishness, the silliness of things that they did. Each and every person according to what they did. And Rav Nosson Zal now comments, however, this paragraph requires investigation in terms of who actually heard this from Rabbein Azal's mouth. Meaning, Rav Nosson Zal's saying that he didn't really understand this completely and didn't necessarily feel that everything here was accurate. We'll take one more paragraph and then we'll pause for questions. Tov Kuf Tzadik Ches. Rav Nosson Zal says, we were once standing in front of Rabbein Azal, and the time had arrived for him to have his dinner. And Rabbein Azal wanted to eat together with us at the time, which wasn't necessarily usual. And Rav Nosson Zal said, however, I had not yet davened Ma'ariv. And we know that if it's the time for davening Ma'ariv, a person is not supposed to sit down and have a meal at the time. So Rav Nosson Zal writes, I started sort of sneaking out from Rabbein Azal and from the people who were standing there in order to go daven Ma'ariv. But Rabbein Azal noticed and he asked, why are you leaving? And they said to him, because he hasn't daven Ma'ariv yet. So Rabbein Azal commented, how can we wait for him till he davens? Who knows what changes are going to take place regarding him when he davens? Because tefillah, when a person is davening, it's supposed to be with mesiras nefesh, to literally put all of their energy, everything they have, into the tefillah. And if that's the case, who knows what's going to be with him after a ma'ariv? Rav Nosson Zal's ma'ariv wasn't like we daven ma'ariv, typically 15 minutes. Rav Nosson Zal, when he davened, he did this. He put everything he had into the tefillah. And Rabbein Azal made this comment that, how can we wait for him? We don't know. It could take him a half hour. It could take him 2 hours. He can get into it, you know. And Rav Nosson Zal adds here that this gives us an understanding as to how serious this point is, that a Jew is supposed to be davening with mesiras nefesh, and with bitul, disconnecting from everything else going on in their life, so that it's possible that the person will become a completely different new person after the tefillah. Any questions, please? Tov Kuf Tzadik Tes. Rav Nosson Zal says, Rabbein Azal once said to me, Dos veist du nit, as der Baditschewa Rav sagt, der Beure spritzt dem Feuer von den Augen. Rabbein Azal said, this you don't know, that when Rav Levi Yitzchak Baditschew says the words, the Creator, fire shoots forth from his eyes. And when Rabbein Azal said those words, Der Boire, the Creator, he said it with incredible awe. And Rabbein Azal said that the words were shaking when they came out of his mouth. In other words, it was with such an awe and a terror that Rabbein Azal said those words, Der Boire, the Creator. We know we had learned earlier, way towards the beginning of Chaim Aran, that it was written that people saw there were times when Rabbein Azal would be sitting at a table and he would have his hands on the table and his hands would be shaking, the table would be shaking, a heavy table would be shaking from the awe that Rabbein Azal felt of sitting in the presence of Hashem, feeling the Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samed, that I'm in the presence of Hashem, the divine presence of Hashem, and feeling such an incredible Yira. The next paragraph, Tuf Reish, I heard it said over in Rabbein Azal's name that a person told Rabbein Azal that he had a dream in which he saw a fire. So Rabbein Azal said to him, and how did you interpret the dream? What do you think was the message in the dream? So the person said to him, I interpreted it that today there's going to be a good day in the market and I'm going to make money. Rabbi Nezal said to him, you're right. Because fire alludes to money. Because the word kesef, the Hebrew word kesef, which means money, when you write each letter the way you pronounce it, chaf, chaf pei, the letter samach, samach mem chaf, and the letter pei, pei aleph, the way you pronounce it, it's bigimatria eish, 301 exactly. The next item, Tofrei Shalif. Rabbi Nezal was once speaking to somebody about a famous tzaddik. And the person praised this tzaddik to Rabbi Nezal, saying that this tzaddik is really somebody awesome, very religious, who has succeeded in eliminating all of his taivas, eating, drinking, these things don't mean anything to him. So Rabbi Nezal asked him, but where is he holding regarding the other taiva, the sinful type of desire for relationships between men and women? So the person said, who knows? Who knows? Who can know? And Rabbi Nezal said, but that's really the most important one, because all other taivas are relatively easy to overcome. The real praise of a tzaddik, the real greatness of a tzaddik, is measured by his holiness regarding this area. If the person is zechut to be able to destroy that completely, that the person doesn't feel any type of wrong or sinful desire regarding that area. We know the Zohar Kodesh says, Ikra de Yitzra Bishka al Arayim, that the main temptation of the Yitzhara is regarding sinful relationships between men and women. Tofresh Beis, the next paragraph. Rav Nosson Zal says, I heard it told over in the name of Rabbein Zal regarding the Gemara in Brachas, page 28, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was about to pass away and he was crying. And his students asked him, What are you crying for? This was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the Rebbe of the Rebbes of Rabbi Akiva. He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Eliezer HaGodol, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanis, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, the giants, the super giants of the Mishnah and the Gemara. So he answered them, and then he said, and in addition, there are two paths in front of a person. One path that leads to Gan Eden, and one path that leads to Gehenna. And I don't know which path they're going to lead me down. This is the wording in the Gemara. And Rabbi Nezal said, is it conceivable that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was in doubt as to whether they would lead him to Gehenna? And Rabbi Nezal explained, we know the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that a tzaddik who is on a very high level, after he passes away, that before they take him to Gan Eden, they lead him via Gehenna, in order that the tzaddik should use the merit of all the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that he did throughout his whole life to elevate as many souls as he can to take them out of Gehenna and bring them with him to Gan Eden. So a great tzaddik is actually serving Hashem even after he passes away, because not only during his lifetime is he involved in elevating souls, but after he passes away also, he's involved in elevating these souls that have fallen, chas v'shalom, into Gehenna or into other low places, and to return them to Hashem. And Rabbi Nezal explained, this is what the opening pasuk in the Navi Yehoshua tells us, where it says, Vayehi acharei mois Moshe eved Hashem. It was after the passing away of Moshe Rabbeinu, the servant of Hashem. So Rabbi Nezal said, he interpreted this, that after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, he's still serving Hashem. because he's involved in elevating those fallen souls, elevating them to Hashem. And Rav Nosson Zal adds here, take a look in chapter 215 in Likutei Moran, which is a relatively small chapter, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about incredible things there. And Rabbeinu Zal says there towards the end of that chapter that Moshe Rabbeinu, after his passing, is still involved in elevating and rectifying souls to help them do tshuva, to help them in the tshuva process, and to generate geirim, converts. That this is the avodah, this is the main avodah of Moshe Rabbeinu during his lifetime and after his passing. And therefore, this is what Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was worried about. This is what he wasn't sure of, whether they would lead him to Gan Eden or to Gehenim. Meaning, he was concerned that had he reached that high level where they would first lead him via Gehenim in order to elevate souls from there. And Reb Nachman Chirin, who organized the Chaim Aran, writes, if you take a look in the Ein Yaakov, which presents the stories of the Gemara, and take a look at the commentary there of the Rif in the Ein Yaakov, he gives a similar interpretation to what Rabbeinu Zal said here. Now, Rav Nosson Zal says, all of this I heard told over in the name of Rabbeinu Zal. However, regarding Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, the people who heard this from Rabbeinu Zal weren't sure in terms of exactly how Rabbeinu Zal interpreted it. Meaning, is it that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was crying about the fact that maybe he'll be led straight to Gan Eden because he's not great enough? He's not a great enough tzaddik to qualify to be brought down via Gehenim in order to elevate souls from there. So that if we follow this interpretation, it's the opposite of the simple pshat. The simple pshat is, he was afraid, am I a tzaddik or am I not a tzaddik? Am I a tzaddik and I'll be taken to Gan Eden? Or chas v'shalom, the opposite? That's one possibility of how Rabbeinu Zal interpreted it, the opposite of the standard pshat. Or is it like the pshat, that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was afraid that he won't be led to Gehenim in order to elevate neshamais? And still, this put tremendous fear in him, and he cried over this. Because even though he was so great at tzaddik, still, this is an incredible high-level avodah of a tzaddik and takes tremendous effort, and it's terrifying when the tzaddik has to go via Gehenim in order to elevate souls from there, as is brought a little bit in the Sifrei Kabbalah. Any questions, please?
Rav Nosson, how does the tzaddik elevate souls in Gehenim? What does he do?
I could say, when I get to speak to the tzaddikim and they tell me, I'll let you know. However, the tzaddik is able to use all of his own merits, number one, to be able to help others. Rabbeinu Zal gives a mashal in a different place where he says that there are souls that are outside Gan Eden that are screaming, we're starving, we give us food, give us clothing. So people attempt to offer them food and clothing and they say, no, that's not what we mean. We don't mean physical food and clothing. We mean mitzvahs, maisim tovim. We mean Torah, those kind of things, that kind of food and clothing. So the tzaddik is in a position to share some of his food and clothing with these neshamos. That's one possibility. And a second possibility is that he's able to be malamed zchus. A tzaddik has the right to offer a defense on a part of a soul to defend them before the heavenly court and thereby be able to get them out. And we know in addition it's definitely brought very clearly that a tzaddik, a person who is close to a tzaddik during his lifetime on earth, the tzaddik has the right to say, he's with us, he's with me. What do you mean? But we have a whole record here of things he did wrong. I know, that's your problem. He's one of my members. Wherever I go, that's where he goes. That's where he belongs. And we know we have a story, a famous story in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Acher, there was a rabbi whose name was Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya. And the Gemara tells an incredible story. Tosfos quotes a Medrash as to what took place when this rabbi was born. A whole major event that affected his life later on. And this rabbi was so great that he was the one who taught Rabbi Meir. He was the rabbi of Rabbi Meir, whom many, if not most of the Mishnayos and Shas, are authored Stam Mishnah as Rabbi Meir. And we're told that at one point in his life, he, together with another three rabbis, went up to a very, very high place in heaven, and he saw certain things that confused him and caused him to lose his faith, Rahman al-Islam. And from after that experience, he became a Rosha. He committed all kinds of terrible, terrible sins. And the Gemara says at one point they didn't mention his name, they didn't refer to him by his name anymore. They called him Acher, the other one, the outsider in a sense. And it's brought that this person, when he passed away, there was a major problem in heaven. What do we do with him? During the first part of his life, he studied a lot of Torah and he taught Torah, so we can't put him into Gehenna. However, during the latter part of his life, he committed terrible, terrible sins, so we can't put him into Gan Eden. So he goes nowhere. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, his student, became aware of this, and Rabbi Meir said, I'm not going to allow this. I'm not going to allow my rabbi to be suspended like this, not to be able to get a tikkun. You're going to see that when I pass away, smoke will start coming up from the grave of Acher, and it'll be a sign that I've succeeded in getting him into Gehenna, where he'll have his suffering and he'll have his tikkun. The Gemara says, sure enough, this is what happened. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan said, Echot me chavarana, one of our friends, and we're going to allow this? We're going to allow people to watch smoke coming up from his grave to see he's in Gehenna? I'm not going to allow this. When I pass away, you're going to see that the smoke is going to stop, and that'll be an indication that I succeeded in getting him into Gan Eden. And the Gemara says, sure enough, that's what happened. And when they eulogized Rabbi Yochanan, they said that the angels, the guards, at the entranceway to Gehenna, knew to stand aside when Rabbi Yochanan came and said, he's with us. He's Echod Mei Chavarana. He's one of our guys. He belongs with us. We're in Gan Eden. He belongs in Gan Eden with us. We see that a tzaddik has that kind of power.
Rabbi Nassim, and in the Gemara, when it talks about Rabbi Meir following Acher, after he had become bad, he was said that he was asked, and he said, because I know how to separate good from bad. Is that Rabbi Nachum's 282? Is that an example of chapter 282 in Likutei Moharan?
Possibly. That Rabbi Meir was able to see the good even in this person, and Rabbi Meir was on a high enough level to be careful to avoid being harmed by the negativity of him, to be able to take out the good. I once mentioned, we know that there's an angel in heaven. The highest level angel in heaven is called the angel Matat. The first three letters of his name are Mem Tes Tes, and the last three letters of his name are Resh Vav Nun. Matat, and then Roin. We're not allowed to pronounce his name, so I'm saying it in two sections. And we're told, and this angel was actually the cause. It's brought, the Gemara says there, that when Acher saw Hashem, he was up in a very high place in heaven, he was able to see Hashem, and he was able to see this angel sitting and writing the merits and the demerits of the Jewish people, the credits and the debits of the Jewish people. And because of this, it looked to him, chas v'shalom, as if there are two. There are two, there's Hashem and there's this angel, chas v'shalom. It seemed, and he got confused, the whole story. So the Sifrei Kabbalah explain that this angel is a combination of good and bad in a sense. This angel is appointed to control things during the 6 days of the week, when there's good and bad, when there's chesed and gvura. Sunday is chesed, Monday is gvura, Tuesday is chesed, Thursday is gvura, and so on and so forth. So the Sforim bring that the Gemara says there, how is Rabbi Meir allowed to learn from him? When we know the Gemara tells us when choosing a rabbi, it's only if the rabbi is mamish heavenly that you're allowed to learn from him. So the Gemara says there, Rabbi Meir rimoin matzo. Rabbi Meir found a pomegranate. Toicho yochal, the center he ate, kliposo zorak, the shell, the outside, he threw away. So the Sforim point out, if you take a look at this angel's name, Mem, Tes Tes, Resh Vav Nun, the middle letters, Tes Tes, is Bigimatria Chai. Chai means living, good. The remaining letters spell the word Rimoin, Resh Mem Vav Nun. Rabbi Meir was able to take out the good, the toiv. He was able to take out the good from inside and discard the klipa, the outside. Any other questions? The next item is a well-known item among the Breslov Hasidim. Rav Nosson Zal says, I heard it told over in the name of Rabbeinu Zal regarding our community, the Breslov community, that Rabbeinu Zal told a parable that there's a bird that lays many, many eggs to the point where it's impossible for that bird to service all of those eggs, to sit on those eggs in order for them to be able to hatch, to be able to bring forth little new birds. And Hashem has put it in the nature of this bird to be able to know to take these small eggs that it hatches and sneak them into the nests of other birds where they don't realize that this egg is not their own. And he puts some in this nest, some in that nest, and he keeps going from to all the nests of these different birds, putting in these many eggs that he lays, this bird lays. And those birds lie on top of, sit on top of those eggs, and they hatch them. And then this bird, this mother bird that laid all of these eggs, flies, taking some of its young with it, and they begin chirping as they fly close by to the nests of these other birds. And those newborn little chicks in those other nests of the other birds, they hear that chirping and they recognize, hey, that's my mommy. That's the one who created me. They recognize the voice and they're drawn immediately to follow the bird that actually produced them. And they go with that bird. And Rav Nosson Zal says that the nimshel, what we can take out of this parable, is understood. People could understand the hint for this in terms of how Rabbeinu Zal deals with all the different people in the world. We find that there are cases that of students, people that became a kuruv to Rabbeinu Zal at different points in their life, where originally they were learning by a certain rabbi, or learning in a certain yeshiva, wherever it was. And then some type of event takes place in their life where they turn towards Rabbeinu Zal, towards Breslov. They become attracted to Breslov and they come to Rabbeinu Zal. And this Moshel is telling us that these neshamos were actually originally produced by Rabbeinu Zal. They were brought into the world by Rabbeinu Zal. But Rabbeinu Zal couldn't bring them all up, you know, from their earliest stages. So they end up in these different places. And when the right time comes, Rabbeinu Zal chirps. Rabbeinu Zal sings that song and they recognize that song and they come and they're attracted to their original source. They come to their original, to the source of their neshama, and they become Makura and Makusha. They become close to and connected to Rabbeinu Zal. Any questions? The next paragraph, Tuf Resh Dalid, Rabbeinu Zal said that to him, a man and a woman are exactly the same. He doesn't feel any potential danger, any potential threat when he comes into contact with a woman of Chas V'Shalom thinking any wrong types of thoughts or committing any wrong type of action whatsoever. And he said, I'm neither afraid of a woman or an angel. And Rav Nosson Zal says there's a lot to elaborate about this. Because a person who still is afraid a little bit of Chas V'Shalom thoughts, sinful thoughts about women, even if he's a high-level tzaddik, but it's just that he's not completely pure in this area, and he still has fear of this item, such a person also has to be afraid of an angel. But Rabbeinu Zal prided himself that by him, he's not afraid at all anymore whatsoever of these types of thoughts, and therefore, he doesn't have to be afraid of an angel either. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that this is alluded to in the Gemara, which is quoted in chapter 1 in the second part of Likut Imran, where the Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Amram Chasida, one of the great rabbis. He was called Chasida, Chasid, very, very holy. The Gemara says at one point in time, the Goyim captured a young Jewish girl and the Jews succeeded in ransoming her and they wanted to return her to her city, to her family, but it was already nighttime and they said, where can we put her for the night where she won't be in jeopardy? So they said, we'll put her in the house of Rabbi Amram Chasida. He is so great at tzaddik, we don't have to be afraid, chas v'shalom, of any problem. And the Gemara says they took a ladder, which took 10 people to move the ladder. And they moved that ladder into position, and they had this young girl go up, climb up the ladder to an attic, and then they moved the ladder away so that she was in a place where no one could get to her. The Gemara says at nighttime, the Yetzirah decided to attack Rav Amram, and Rav Amram suddenly felt a surge of desire, and he went and grabbed the ladder and started climbing up the ladder, and then he caught himself, and he screamed out, Ano Bisra v'ant esh v'ano adifna minach. I am flesh and blood, and you are fire, and I'm still stronger than you. Meaning that Rav Amram was successful in overpowering the Yetzirah completely. And Rabbeinu Zal has a major explanation over there in chapter 1 in the second half of Likut Imran regarding this story. Rabbeinu Zal shows there that a tzaddik, when an angel wants to attack him, just like by Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven to bring the Torah down to earth, and the angels wanted to attack him because they wanted the Torah to remain up there in heaven. And Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, grab on to my throne and they won't be able to harm you. The throne is where all 600,000 souls originate from. So Rabbeinu Zal says there that when a tzaddik is able to attach himself to all 600,000 souls, then he's protected that the fire of these angels can't harm him. The word Bisra, Beis Shin Reish Aleph, Rav Amram said, Ano Bisra, The word Bisra makes up the first letters of Shishim Ribui Bekeres Echad, 600,000 in one womb, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a composite of all 600,000 souls. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, attach yourself, bind yourself to the 600,000 neshamos, and then the angels won't be able to harm you in any way. I'm giving this over briefly. This is what Rabbein Azal expounds on there in chapter 1 in that second half of Likud Imran. We'll hold it over here for now. I must leave for an appointment. Next Sunday is Erev Pesach. We will not have the shir. The next shir will be after Pesach in Yitz Hashem. And hopefully then we'll complete the Sefer Chaim Aran in Yitz Hashem. Wishing everybody a good week and a Chag Kosher v'Sameach. We should be zeichet to see again the complete and final geula of Klal Yisrael with the coming of Mashiach. B'mehera b'yameinu, amen v'amen.